Hi, everybody. My name is Penny E from South Jersey. And I say South Jersey. A couple of people have asked me, why do we say South Jersey? Because even though New Jersey is a small state, it's like two different states. South Jersey is more Philadelphia, and North Jersey is more New York. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I say recovered because my home group uses that term, not cured. Not cured, but the big book does say over and over again, recovered. And I'm recovered today because I respond sanely to food, to situations. Well, let me just start here. Okay, so my abstinent date, I was going to say sobriety date, is November 28th, 1988, and I know that because that's the day I went into treatment for the second time. And during that treatment time, something happened to me. Something happened to me. I had been in relapse prior to that, but somewhere on a walk in the morning, I heard, I don't know, my higher power say something like, I just don't want the pain anymore. I just don't want the pain anymore. And from that day on, I haven't had the need to compulsively overeat through the grace of God, through the grace of God. I've lost about 100 and I don't know, 10, 113 pounds, over 100 pounds. And I have a picture of myself. I tried this before the meeting. Tell me if you guys can see this. Can you see it? Nobody's talking to me. Okay.
It's a
All right,
little
whatever.
back. No, you can do it. Yeah,
Okay, it's
no.
all right. I was fat. I was fat. I was unbathed. I was depressed. I was suicidal. Suicide looked like a step up. And I'm transformed today, absolutely transformed. So before coming into program, I didn't know anything about powerlessness. I didn't know anything about unmanageability. I thought I was in control of everything, every single diet I did. And I have a list of these. I read them off. I was sent to a pediatrician when I was a little kid, and they gave me appetite depressants. I must have been 10 or 11 years old. I went to a diet doctor. They gave me diuretics, amphetamines, metabolism pills. They dispensed them from the office. I was on Metrical. Usually when I'm talking, and there's people there, they will go, yeah, I know how old you are if you're shaking your head to Metrical. Diet camp. Oh, I went to diet camp. And I learned how to eat foods that are not on my program today. I was in and out of Weight Watchers, in and out, in and out, in and out. I was always a good dieter. I could always get to my goal. But once I got to the goal, boom, that was it for 2 seconds. And then I learned that I was a fairly good speaker. So I started to work for an organization that was a take a, ta a lookalike to Weight Watchers. And I lectured for them. I lectured for them. And I would binge on my way into the meeting to share, and I would have crumbs on my chest and crumbs on my rear end from sitting in it in the food in the car. Didn't keep me free from compulsively overeating. My father loved to use the if you lose weight, I will. If you lose weight, I will get you a car. If you lose weight, I will get you a complete wardrobe, the Taj Mahal. It wasn't enough. There was nothing that could keep me from that food, nothing. Even my desire to be in a normal body size, more than anything else in the world. Psychiatrist, my parents sent me to psychiatrist, psychologist, diet camp, I told you, what had my jaws wired shut. I mean, I have a PhD in this. Geographic cure. I moved to Chicago thinking that, oh, if I could just get away from here, everything will be okay. It was the same. It was the same in Chicago. Antidepressants. I did awareness trainings, LifeSpring, which was I was everything was beneficial, but it didn't address my addiction to food. I did not know that I had an addiction to food. I didn't know what I didn't know. I thought I was weak-willed. I thought I didn't want it badly enough. Who knew? I don't know. I also tried the wonderful world of laxatives and Ipecac syrup, and I was in treatment for two times. So many, many, many years I was losing weight, gaining weight, losing weight, gaining weight. And it wasn't until I came into these rooms, and it was before 1988, I had relapsed prior to that, wasn't until I came into these rooms until I found out what the problem was. I couldn't do anything unless I knew what the problem was. So thank you, God. When I came into my first OA meeting, I was told that I had a disease. Thank you, God, that I was powerless. My relationship to food required me to eat. You know, I could hold my breath. I could do what, you know, door, my jaw's wired shut. That didn't even help. I drank all kinds of stuff through the my whatever they were, the silver things that held my teeth together. So I found out I was powerless, which was a real freedom. Thank you, God. And I also found out that some of the unmanageability that I had, the depression, the not showering, not showing up for work, had to do with my relationship with food. You know, the food was the single most important thing in my life without exception. It wasn't working. And then I took the second step, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I began to be restored to sanity by working the steps, by living the steps, by incorporating the steps every single moment of my life to the best of my ability. I don't say like I did them twice or I did them once or whatever. I live them every day. I practice every single day for me. And then I have this prayer about sanity. And this is what I pray when I eat. I'm going to read it because I'll be sure to forget something. But I say, thank you, God, for this food. Thank you that it's an insane amount. It used to be I would eat one quart, 1 dozen, 1 gallon, you know. Now it's weighed and measured. Everything is weighed and measured. Thank you, God. Thank you for a sane selection. I used to eat sweets, sugar, flour, fried. You know, that was my selection. But now I have a healthy food plan. I have a food plan that was not made by me. I'm on the same food plan for 35 years through the grace of God. It has changed a little bit as I get older. I'm 75 now. And as I was getting older, my body needed less food. And so I never change anything by myself. I have a sponsor and I have a nutritionist that I do use sometimes. And that helped me with the amounts that I'm supposed to eat to maintain a normal body size. I eat in the same time. I mean, before program, before being restored to sanity, taking the second step, I used to eat morning, noon, and night in the middle of the night, in the middle of the supermarket. I mean, there was no time to eat. Now I have specific times to eat. I don't eat my breakfast before 6. I don't eat my lunch before 12. I don't eat my dinner before 5. And I have a nighttime, what I call a metabolic. I don't eat that before 9 o'clock. And if I have to change that for any reason, the times, I call everything in. I try not to take back any control of this. Let me just look at the time so I see where I am. Okay. I eat in the same place, no longer standing in the aisles in the supermarket, no more in my car. When I get to a red light, you know, I put the food down because the person next to me may see that I'm eating something. That's insane. I sit at a table, you know, I eat like a lady. I put my fork down. I eat with utensils, not my fingers. Thank you, God. I eat for a sane reason, not because I'm depressed, not because I'm lonely, not because of anything else. I eat because it's mealtime. I'm very rarely hungry, but it's food time. It's time for nourishment to my body. Thank you, God. I have sane thoughts before and after and during the time I eat. I don't feel guilt. I don't feel shame. I don't feel remorse. It's sane. I'm maintaining a sane body size. Oh my goodness. I have old clothes today. I have clothes I have to give away because they're worn out, you know, or they're out of the style. I never had that. I always had a million different sizes. And okay, I guess that's it on that. So the third step brings me to the third step, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of the God as we understood him. I wanted this. Tell me what to do. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Yes, it's a real simple step. My nose is running. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I wanted it. I knew that this was a spiritual program. I knew that it depended on my growth spiritually towards God. And I wanted that. I was always seeking spirituality. When the Beatles went to the Maharishi, I wanted to go, whatever. I'm not even going to go there. But anyway, I always wanted that. And so I grabbed onto this piece of it. It is not only the piece, it's the whole thing. So yes, I did make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. How did I do that? I went on by doing the steps. By doing the steps, I did a four-step, a searching and fearless moral inventory, which was an amazing experience for me. If I suggest anybody, if you're holding back, what could be worse than living in an active food addiction? I mean, there's nothing worse than that. Everything that came to the surface when I did my fourth step was a gift. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I could do again. I could do something when I understood what was wrong. But one of the major things that happened for me during that fifth step, when I admitted to God and to ourselves and to another human being, was that fourth column. It's not really a fourth column, but it's a fourth column where we take a look at our part. Every single person that I had a resentment for, I had my part. My part. That I could do something with. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I just always thought everybody was against me. Everybody was against me, and it was just my view. And I always found out that it was because of my low self-esteem. It was because of my perfectionism. It was because of my fear, my control issues. And once I found that out, I could do something. I could go on to the sixth step, being entirely ready to have God remove these character defects, because these character defects get in the way of my relationship with God. They block my relationship to God, block it. So I am anxious to ask God to remove them. I'm entirely ready for him to remove them. Then in the seventh step, I get on my knees and I humbly ask him to please remove these shortcomings. Restore me to sanity. Let me know what's sane. Let me know what's real. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Well, this is such a blessing also. I mean, just cleaning up the past and on a daily basis, cleaning up what's going on now. Oftentimes I can have a quick tongue and I can say things in anger or in jest that is sarcastic. And I can't live with that. When my character defects come up, it's like stepping in dog doo, and it's n messy and it's smelly, and I track that dog doo into my house. I track it into your house. I track it into every place I go. I got to get that doo off my shoe. Oh, that's the first time I said that. That rhymes. I got to get the doo off my shoe. Okay, good. I'll probably use that one again. Anyway, okay. Okay, persons we had harmed, we make amends to them all. I clean this up daily. I clean this up daily. I try not to go to bed with any of these things glaring. And then 10, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. I do that often, 10 steps. If I think I've hurt somebody, I call somebody, and we do what we call a 10th step.
Three
What do I have?
minutes.
5 3 minutes. Okay. Oh boy, that went so fast. Okay. Thank you so much. I do want to say this. I'm not going to finish that because I have 3 minutes, but I'm a widow. My husband was killed in a motorcycle accident 20 years ago. He was abstinent. I was abstinent. We were both sober. And through the grace of God and being restored to sanity, I woke up in an ambulance and I knew he was my soulmate. I knew his presence was gone. I just knew his presence was gone. This is powerful for me, so I'd like to get it in here when I share. And they were working on me, and I said, "Where's my husband? Where's my husband?" Finally, I realized he had moved on to be with God. God was not ready for me. It's a long story. I will not get into it now, of course, but thank you, God. When I opened my eyes up in the ambulance, I said to them, I am a recovering compulsive overeater. I cannot have IV with sugar in it. It has to be saline solution. I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. I cannot have narcotics. And then I was going in and out, in and out, in and out of consciousness. But that's what happened. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, my sponsor, a sponsee, two sponsees, and my sponsor arrived in Georgia. I live in New Jersey, at the hospital for me. They knew I was in trouble. They knew Richard had moved on to be with God, and they brought scales and they brought spoons, and they said to the nurses, "She's a compulsive overeater. She can't have sugar, and she can't have narcotics." So I breathe and live this program. It is what I do. Today, the single most important thing in my life is that the desire to please God is number one. And in order to please God, I have to be in service to him, to his kids, and to stay abstinent so I can feel his love and be able to love him. I always end my story with, I thank you, God, not for, let me see if I can get it right, not for opening up the gates of heaven and letting me in, but I thank you, God, for opening up the gates of hell and letting me out. So thanks, everybody. I love you very much.